Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning. Welcome to this edition of Atlanta Business Radio, powered by Business Radio X. I'm your host, Alex Gossett Shiflett, and welcome to our producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. Ryan, how are you today?
I am outstanding today here on a wonderful Wednesday edition.
Hump day.
Yes.
Hump day. Okay. We have two very special guests in our studio today. But before we get started, make sure you are connected with us on social media, Twitter at Business Radio X. Also, today's show, Atlanta Business Radio. You can follow us at Atlanta Biz Radio, and you can connect with me personally on Twitter at Alex G. Shiflett. I'd love to hear from you, and you can check out pictures of our guest in the studio. All right. Well, welcome. Our first guest is Clay Westbrook from Ascent. Good morning, Clay.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
And thank you. And we have Mike Robbins from Robbins Media.
Welcome. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good to be here.
Okay. Well, Clay, I'm going to start with you. And I have to tell you, I could tell that you are a writer by the way you wrote your bio. I could just tell you're a writer. You talked about coming here after graduating from the University of Georgia.
That's right.
Okay. Tell that story about coming to Atlanta.
You want me to tell you what happened or the way I wrote it in the bio?
Well, any way you want to.
Well, I graduated from the University of Georgia School of Law in 1993 and moved here and spent 15 years practicing law with a couple of different law firms around town of varying sizes. And in 2008, I quit practicing law. And since then, I've done consulting work for companies with financial problems.
Yeah, and I believe the word you used to describe some of the lawyers was insufferable.
Right. I said that I had the opportunity to work for some great firms and some of the most intelligent and or insufferable lawyers in the country.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, I put the and or in there to sort of leave it open to everyone's interpretation who I was talking about. I don't really have a specific person in mind, but you know how lawyers can be.
Right.
And that's coming from a lawyer, too. So we know that's a...
That's right. I doubt it, any lawyers would disagree with that assertion.
Okay. So you decided that wasn't what you wanted to do. So then what did you do next?
Well, really, in 2008, I was a commercial real estate lawyer. So the economy sort of made the decision that I wasn't going to be practicing law when we ran out of clients to work for. So I spent several months kicking around a few different things that I did. And after a while, fell in with some guys who were doing some consulting work for companies and real estate developers who had their banks had failed and they were getting letters from the FDIC telling them to refinance their loans. And of course, there were no loans to be had in 2009.
And so what interests you about doing consulting work?
Well, I like to drill down and sort of get to know the different parties and how they may be motivated by things that are outside of the four corners of a document or the performance of a contract. That sort of thing has always interested me. And keeping those things in mind and trying to capitalize on them can put you at an advantage in a contentious dispute.
And so this is when you created your company, Ascent.
That's right. It's primarily focused on small business owners and real estate developers, as well as their accountants and lawyers when they get into a contentious dispute regarding a financial issue or any sort of litigation, sort of come in and give a different perspective from what you would ordinarily get from your attorney or your CPA.
And you've handled some pretty big companies.
Well, I didn't handle anything by myself. I had good partners and a lot of good lawyers that I worked with and other professional service providers and lots of great guys and women who had their whole future on the line in a lot of these disputes.
Hmm. Okay. Well, tell us about the book that you recently published.
Well, I published it myself on Amazon, and that was quite an undertaking, a bit more of an undertaking than I really realized. I thought my job was finished when we got it written and edited, and it was ready to go. But it took several weeks and lots of work after that to actually get it not only downloadable as an ebook, but also in the printed format.
Okay. Well, tell our audience the title, how they can get it, and what's in it.
Okay. The title is Debt and Circuses, Protecting Business Owners from Their Enemies, Their Allies, and Themselves. And it's currently available on Amazon. And my name is Clay Westbrook. You can look it up either by that title or my name, and you should find it fairly easy. It's available in both ebook format as well as the print version.
And why did you decide to sit down and write the book?
Well, I had lots of material to work with from creating my website. And while all of it needed to be completely rewritten for the book, it sort of gave me a starting point, a jump-off point, basically. And it took a lot of time, but I made the time to do it, coming in and trying to get a piece of it done every morning. And many mornings I would stare at my computer and get nothing written. And then one day would come along where I'd write 5, 6, 8, 10,000 words just on a stream of consciousness. So it took about 2 months to get the manuscript finished.
Well, and you wrote it in 2 months?
I did, yeah.
That's actually pretty fast.
It is. Like I said, it sort of came in bursts. Some days I would get nothing accomplished, and other days I would be on the ball.
Well, tell us, give us some advice. How do business owners tend to get in trouble?
Well, denial is the main problem that they have. And perhaps one might say that optimism is the second problem, because entrepreneurs and business owners are by their nature optimistic people. And they're also rather conflict averse, which sounds counterintuitive, but entrepreneurs, business owners are really in the business of putting things together. And if deals don't work out, then they move on to the next deal. But oftentimes when financial problems come along, you can't just walk away from the problem, because the problem was created in many instances when you borrowed the money or got the investment to begin with.
And at what point should someone reach out to you for your services?
In some instances, you'll have a loan maturity coming up or payments that are due, and there's uncertainty as to whether or not you're going to be able to refinance a loan or pay out a return on an investment, things like that. And oftentimes your CPA or sometimes the lawyer will see this many months in advance, and that's the best time to get started, is before the problems arise. We had far too many people who came to us long after it was too late for them to fix their problem, because they had spent all of their money. They had run out of cash trying to appease all of their creditors until there was no cash left to appease with.
Mm. And what makes these cases so difficult?
Well, my theory about why these cases are so difficult is that you have people on either side of the negotiating table who come from completely different backgrounds and have completely different temperaments. The type of people who are working at financial institutions tend to be, they work in a bureaucracy, and things need to go by the book, and checklists need to be stuck to, and the boxes need to be checked, and the process needs to be followed. It's about procedure over substance. And with business owners and entrepreneurs, it's quite the opposite. They abhor procedure over substance and want to get to the root of the problem and solve it. And if that entails breaking the rules, then that's what we'll do. So both sides don't really understand what the other is saying.
We're talking with Clay Westbrook with Ascent, Survival Skills for Companies and Their Advisors in the New Economy. How do you define a small business?
Really any privately held business. So the term small business just basically is that I tend to focus on or want to focus on situations where a company is faced with debt problems or potential liability of between $1 million and $10 or $15 million.
But it could be a solopreneur all the way up to someone who has several people on staff, but really defining small business more in the revenue side of things.
I really sort of define it on the side of on how large of a problem we have.
Okay.
But one thing that I have figured out is that it doesn't matter what the amount in controversy is. When you're dealing with creditors, the strategy is the same, whether it's $100,000 or $50 million.
Mm-hmm. And when a business is in the situation where they need your help, How do they come to know that your services are even available to them? Are you often referred by partners in industry? Or are you actively out there marketing your services to these small businesses in need?
The referrals that we have gotten over the years are typically from professional service providers, CPAs and accountants. Referrals from former clients is also a part of that. But I've developed some good relationships with a lot of good lawyers around town and other CPAs and business owners who, like I said, are usually among the first to discover that a problem is coming down the road and try to get me involved while there's still time.
Mm-hmm. And Clay, what makes you a consultant like yourself superior to other lawyers that might handle these situations?
Well, it's not necessarily superior. It's because there are a lot of lawyers out there that are smarter than me, but it really comes from my experience in doing 100 or so of these workouts, just always never coming across a situation that I haven't seen most of it before. And I can usually give advice to not only the client, but also the attorney that is a little bit outside of the advice that an attorney can give. The attorney is looking at the legal case and the merits thereof. The case may be a great case or the case may be a sure loser, but none of that really matters from a financial standpoint. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that isn't taken into account.
Yeah, small businesses need all the help they can get for sure. And I imagine when they engage Ascent and your consulting services, they're getting it from an entrepreneur themselves, a guy who has thrown his hat over the fence and chased his own entrepreneurial dreams and then helped others succeed as well. But what do you need more of over there? More clients, more team members, more awareness? What could you use more of at Ascent?
Well, I originally wrote the book to sort of enhance my credibility as a business consultant. And through that process, I also realized that I really love to write. So I may be doing a little bit more of that as time permits. And what I need, everyone needs more clients. Mm-hmm. And in this business, it's very difficult to locate prospective clients apart from either word of mouth or the anonymity of the internet. And the reason for that is people don't talk to strangers about their financial problems. I can't really put a billboard on I-75 and expect for people to open up to me about what's really going on with their business, because that's a tough thing to do, particularly for business owners who always present the rosiest scenario and hear nothing but the rosiest scenario from everyone they know who's also an entrepreneur or a member at their country club or a member of their church. Everything seems to be coming up roses for everybody else except for me. Mm-hmm. And so there's a feeling of isolation. Mm-hmm. And when you're in that feeling of isolation, the last thing you want to do is talk to a stranger. But that's why my referral stream is my critical source of prospective clients.
Well, we're quickly, and have been for a number of years now, a resource for entrepreneurs to find these answers they're searching, as we feature them all the time, the good, the bad, and the ugly of running a business. And so we're much as an educational and an awareness platform as we are helping businesses get the word out about their services. So in the long run, you know, just kind of putting it all in one place, I think here at Business Radio X, we find the people come to us all the time and to find those answers and to find businesses that they can trust and do business with, especially when it comes to their finances.
Well, this is a great station, a great program, and I'm really happy to be on the microphone side of the program for once. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to listening in the future and would be delighted to help anyone who may reach out to you. And as I have needs, I'll keep you in mind as well.
Fantastic.
And I've got one more question for you, Clay, before we move on to Mike. You talked about writing and you might do some more writing. And as I said, when we first started, I love the way you wrote your bio because it sounded like a story. Do you think you might do some writing in storytelling and maybe not so much on the finance side, but just telling a story?
Well, I'm working on that, actually. I'm about halfway finished with the manuscript for book number two, which is a lot of things that didn't quite make the cut for book number one, dealing with negotiation. But what I've done is, and what I hope to do is, I've woven a story through the book about two entrepreneurs who came from very different backgrounds. One was a client of ours. One has become a very good friend of mine. And they both became very wealthy, and they both lost everything they had. And so their story, and one has a very happy ending and one has a pretty bad ending. And so that story is going to be woven through the book as we come to, as I go through examples from each of the workouts that I've done for both of those guys.
Well, I hope you'll come back on the show when you publish this book and tell us about it. It sounds very interesting. I'd like to read it.
Well, I'll come back before it's published.
Okay.
To generate some buzz.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Okay. Thanks, Clay. Okay. Mike Robbins from Robbins Media Group. Mike, what is Robbins Media Group? How to get started? Tell us all the who, what, when, where, why.
I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. It's kind of a little bit of a lengthy story, but Robbins Media Group, Charlotte, North Carolina-based media company that specializes in the sale of advertising placement to the local business community, something we've been doing for quite some time and we're quite good at. The journey started here in Atlanta. 25 years ago, I answered an ad and started selling on a commission basis coupon ads, and moved through that company, was transferred to Charlotte to take over my own office. And eventually wound up being a regional vice president for that company. Then, unfortunately, as the economy was starting to move in the wrong direction, what we've all heard for so many years, a 16-year career place I thought it would be the last place that I ever worked, right. All of a sudden was no longer there. Took a look around and found a product called StarCart that made sense. It followed the same linear thought of what I'd been doing for so many years of assisting local business owners in finding effective and affordable advertising products. So we got that kicked off in February of 08, and we just opened our third office here in Atlanta and are anxious about growing here back home.
Your third office?
Yes.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. We made a huge paradigm shift about 2.5 years ago. This traditionally is a commission-based, traveling, outside, independent contractor environment. About 2.5 years ago, we started testing a telesales environment with employees, and it took off. So we decided to open our Greenville office January of last year. Our business went crazy, and we've opened Atlanta just 2 weeks ago, and it's off to a great start. It's progressed to where we did 345% growth in the month of April over April last year. So we're real excited about what we've got going and already have a second Atlanta on the table for going into 2017.
So you have an office in Greenville, an office in Atlanta,
an office in Charlotte.
And an office in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm actually from South Carolina. I'm very familiar with Charlotte. Beautiful place.
Yeah. It's Atlanta 25 years ago.
Yeah.
That's what my wife and I said when we first drove into it, when we were transferred from Atlanta to Charlotte.
So how many employees do you have?
Right now we've got 18 and we need to double.
You need to double.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're looking for people.
Yes, absolutely. We've just gotten started here in Atlanta 2 weeks ago, and we've already brought on the first crew. We're not a mass hire to bring in a bunch of people, and when they die off, bring in another bunch of people. We have a little bit more one-on-one focus to make sure they have the necessary skill sets to be successful. Done very well with the first group, and we're getting ready to bring the second group on, and we'll bring a third group on going into June.
And what do you look for in an employee?
High energy, enthusiastic, wants to make good money, and is willing to work hard. That's really all.
They got to be good on the phone too, right?
They've got to have a good phone personality,
right.
No question about it. But that's where the outgoing and high energy.
But you can teach them that part, I imagine.
That part's a little tough to teach. We can teach them the words to say.
Okay.
But if they don't have the
soft skills.
It's not so much what you say as it is how you say it. Mm-hmm. That's what they bring to the table. Now, granted, we can help develop some finer points. But they've got to be a little bit outgoing to start out with. They have to have high energy that they can bring to that conversation. Because, again, you lose the visual in a telesales environment.
Right.
So you've got to get somebody's attention immediately and keep it throughout the conversation.
And you're calling on other businesses, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And so this B2B kind of space, this advertising space, is they get calls all the time. So
right.
They're a little more, the person answering the phone is a little more in tune with, you know, if that person is upbeat
exactly.
and right on time with their
they're comparing every call to the call they just hung up with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you've got to be a little different. And that's our biggest challenge, is being able to get someone to listen.
Yeah. And then how about the technology side of things with the digital media and the digital platform coming so prevalent in advertising these days? Does that affect your business at all?
Well, it has in that it's positioned to quadruple our business. We're moving into a product called the Nala, which in essence is a electronic media ad agency, if you want to refer to it as that. We handle everything from press releases to directory management, reputation management, all of that kind of good stuff, are all rolled into one. Giving, again, the focus being local businesses, giving them the ability to compete with all of the larger businesses in the community that have the advantage that they don't. And, you know, a large company has got an IT department and marketing department that can do all that for them. The local guy's just trying to make ends meet every day and didn't really have the time, and in most cases, not the expertise to do that for themselves. And that's where we come in.
And advertising is getting more and more localized these days. Even through your cable channels and internet channels, you could get one set of advertising directed to you, and your neighbor can be getting something completely different based on their demographic and what they like to shop for online. And so it's changing that way. What we see today is not going to be what we see tomorrow and the year beyond.
Yep, absolutely.
Right. So,
do you have people that's their job? That's what they focus on, like finding the demographics and your target audience?
The products that we offer are, they apply to every local business owner. Again, I define the differentiation between small business and local business, the one shop guy. You know, you've got a dentist office in Kennesaw. Him being in major media, he's paying to reach someone in Jonesboro, but that's never a potential customer. That's the downside to the major media. For the small local business owner, is the larger the audience, the more expensive it is. But also, the larger the audience, the smaller percentage of that office of that audience is a potential customer. So they're spending a ton of money. What we do laser focuses it down into that community, both using the algorithms online as well as, you know, how many grocery stores do you have? And that's why every time you turn around, there's another one. They pull a 1 to 3 mile radius around their front door. So whoever's trying to reach that community, they're able to focus on them.
And we're talking with Mike Robbins with Robbins Media Group with 3 locations in Charlotte, Greenville, and Atlanta, and plans to expand not only the team and the staff over there, but what do you need more of other than your team? More businesses to find you? How are you getting the word out that you're services are available?
That's the one advantage that we have, is that we are a direct marketing. We're hunters. So we go and seek out people that we have identified that need our help. And that's, you know, the local business community, someone that needs to reach the public in an economic, cost-effective way.
Yeah.
We need more sales professionals. Obviously, we need more customers. But getting the sales professionals will get the customers.
Sometimes advertising is not part of that big budget for these small local businesses. They got to keep the lights on. They got to keep the inventory up. And so advertising and marketing may be third or fourth or further down the list of their needs. But from your perspective, it can really turn their business around, and just a little bit of investment can grow their business tremendously.
Absolutely. Countless stories that's the case.
Yeah. Anybody you've helped recently that you could share a story with our listeners? You don't have to say any names or anything, but somebody who came in.
We've got a realtor group in Fort Mill that had just opened up and formed a partnership, these two ladies, that they led that particular brokerage last year. They were number one, and this year they have already gotten several awards from the parent grouping. It comes down to branding is the foundation of all other marketing. The better known you are, the more effective everything else is. And what better way to brand yourself than to be in front of a captive audience 3 to 4 times a week for 45 to 60 minutes at a time? It's like a long playing radio or TV commercial.
Sounds like a lot like Business Radio X and Atlanta Business Radio, doesn't it?
And we hear people talk about branding in here all the time and how important it is.
Absolutely.
Right. And maybe we can turn the conversation a little bit to Atlanta now and why that's important to you and your business, and how has it been in supporting you and your business?
Oh, boy. Atlanta's home. I'm a Mableton native.
Nice.
Left there 25 years ago to go to Charlotte. I still have family here. Mm-hmm. So, quite frankly, it's a good excuse to come back and see them a little bit more often than I was doing traveling all over the country and whatnot. It's also where I started in this industry. So it's kind of a coming back home.
Right.
In addition to all that, in looking around, I noticed that the job market's a little soft in Atlanta right now. And we have a great opportunity for someone that's looking for an above average income, that's willing to work hard and apply enthusiasm to a process that we've developed. It really is that paint by numbers type system, anyone that's willing to follow it.
And Atlanta's a big city with a lot of little communities built into it. And so this could really help all the way from Covington to Alpharetta and everywhere in between.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So plenty of room to grow in just the Atlanta area.
Yes.
What about room to grow in other cities?
Well, that's one beautiful thing about what we do is that the telesales provides flexibility that we've never experienced before. If we get on the phones calling Houston, Texas, and we find out, boom, they just got flooded. Okay, everybody, we're calling Chicago.
Yeah.
Right. They had a snowstorm. Okay, well, everybody, we're moving to California. So, yeah, we cover the entire United States out of. I select the cities basically to be able to pull together human resources, is really what it boils down to. You have limited availability in each market. Granted, Atlanta's a bigger availability than others, but there isn't even a limit to that. So that's why we'll open a second and maybe even third location here in Atlanta so that people aren't having to commute, you know, 2 and 3 hours a day with the wonderful traffic that's gotten even better since I left.
Traffic is a sign of success and growth.
It absolutely is. Yeah. And that's one of the things our guys love about this is they can still make an above average income and not have to sit in traffic all day long calling on customers.
Exactly. Mm. Well, I have a question for both of you. I'm going to kind of open up the floor. If you guys have questions for each other, feel free to ask. But what do you think the future of our economy is?
Boy, that's a loaded question.
Yeah. I'm just curious what you two think about it.
All thumbs up, optimistic. I love what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the small business community, what I again refer to as a local business community, is starting to reinvest in growth. We're seeing a lot of businesses that were failing. So I made the great decision of getting into this, starting up my company right as the economy was falling apart. The end of 07, going into the beginning of 08. And that's one of the things that we're very proud of is we've managed double digit year over year growth even through that. And watching the for lease signs start to disappear, starting to see businesses fill plazas again, starting to see new construction finally
moving again.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So I'm excited about what we're going to be looking at going forward.
Okay.
I really see two economies still in my experiences in the predominantly urban areas like where we are in other major cities, the economy is doing very well. And as Mike was saying, you know, office buildings and shopping centers are being built and filled up. And Lord knows apartments. There's so many apartment projects going in around here. But out in the exurban areas and in the rural areas and in the smaller towns and mid-sized towns, you don't really see much of a change from the past 6 or 8 years. And a lot of the companies that I've worked for, particularly in the last 2 or 3 years, haven't been in Atlanta and haven't been real estate developers. They've been small businesses outside of the Atlanta metro area in several different states across the South that one bad unexpected event comes along, their cash flow is so thin that they immediately can't cover their financial obligations. So I see two economies persisting, and I think that the wild card right now is the commodity prices, the price of oil, and how it's affected the oil and gas industry. And we see corporate defaults and bankruptcies doubling and tripling, quadrupling over the last 12 months in that industry, and that will eventually ripple out probably to industries that are heavily reliant on the oil and gas industry. Hmm. So it may be contained, or it may be like contained like the subprime mortgage problem was contained, which we'll just have to stick around and see what happens. But I suspect people will be a little bit more prepared than they were about this stuff 8 years ago. And we can rest assured that it won't be the mortgage market that causes the next recession.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do like Mike's answer better. Yeah. Staying on the positive side.
I'm on the positive side, but
a realist.
I
think it's important to recognize the dangers as far out as you can. And I really think it's important to emphasize the difficulties that are going on.
I agree with what he has to say to an extent in that the larger cities are recovering quicker. But we're now starting to see moving into that next layer, Asheville, North Carolina. My goodness,
that place
has absolutely exploded the last 18 months. We're starting to see that move out into some of the smaller markets around it. So, yeah, we got a long way to go. There's absolutely no question about it. particularly some of the smaller resort towns in North Georgia got really hurt with the way the economy went. But we're starting to see some of them come back as well. So just keep pushing growth and we'll be fine.
And what do you guys like to do in Atlanta on your off time?
What's that?
Do you have any off time?
I like to write books.
He likes to write books, right? About his business.
Visit with my family. That's really.
I have a question for Mike.
Yeah.
When you're going through your sales process, what's the objection that you get most often and how do you deal with that?
Quite frankly, the objection I get most often is they don't listen. That you're the 15th salesperson that's called me today, and whether it be, I'm not interested. They just haven't heard what the message is.
There's this closed-minded from the initial pickup of the phone.
They don't, which is human nature.
Yeah.
I've been there before.
Right. And so once they do listen, is for kind of following along, is there a pushback that you hear more often once you've been able to engage them on the phone? Is it price? Is it time? Is it commitment? Any of those?
Everything boils down to a value proposition, whether they feel that the product is worth what we're asking for it, or if they feel that they are best served investing that money in that product, or would a different product, that same amount of money, a different product work out better. So it's just simply the features and benefits, the strengths and weaknesses of the sales rep's ability to communicate what this is. Yeah. I've always believed that a business owner that was liquid, not somebody that's challenged with making ends meet, but they're liquid and actively investing in advertising is who we seek out. Mm-hmm. If they truly understand what this does and what this is, it's a no-brainer.
That's how we feel about the Business Radio X, as we're supported with sponsors and underwriters, as we don't sell advertising traditionally like media does. But when people get it, they really get it, and they can see how it can truly grow their brand, their value, and then they just want to be fully immersed into our network here.
Our customers that get what this product is, love it, and stay with it. As a matter of fact, the first person that we sold, not to name names over the way, the first person that we sold in North Georgia 8 years ago is still with us.
Because they still see the value first, 8 years ago and year after year and probably on into the years to come as well. But you've got to evolve your business. Like we were talking earlier about the technology and the digital side of things. What are you seeing on the horizon? Where do you see this industry overall evolving to? As traditional media is having less and less of an impact on a mass scale and becoming more and more localized.
And that's where our footprint is strictly local.
So it's trending in your direction.
Yes, exactly. And that's one of the reasons I'm so optimistic.
And busy.
and busy. So it's worked out very well for us. But I do see social media continuing to have an impact. And it seems as of late to have an even more immediate impact than it had before. That's the one area that the local business community is not quite tapped into yet. And we're looking to help them bridge that gap.
So one way to get first started for a little cost at all, just a little effort and get your brand and your business mission out there.
Right. And Mike, how can they get in touch with you?
1-800-368-6841, extension 702, or robinsmediagroup.com.
Okay. And Clay, how can our audience get in touch with you one more time?
678-466-077 is the office number. My email address is cwestbrook@ascentstrategygroup.com. We have a website of the same name.
Well, Clay and Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much. And if your business is doing something exciting and you would like to be featured on Business Radio X, reach out to us on the contact page at businessradiox.com. Special thanks to our producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson. All right, my friends, thank you for listening. I'm Alex Gossett-Shiflett, your hostess with the mostest. And as always, I'm wondering who will be my next guest on Business Radio X.